Praise God. I just want to thank God for bringing me back safely in one piece in the last 3 weeks that I was away. I just want to thank God for what He's going to do and to in our lives and also in all of our lives. Amen. Father, we just want to thank You this morning, even as we hear Your word, we dwell upon Your word. Father, we just want to thank You that, Lord, Jesus will be the one who will be guiding this morning. Lord, Your Holy Spirit will guide everything that is we speak this morning. My mind, my lips and my tongue and my heart will be desired. And, Lord, You will take control of it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll speak to us through Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are many things that we want to do in our lives. There are many things that we seek in our lives. There are many things that we exalt to do in our lives. But first of all, we must understand the theme of my message today morning is just as the Lord spoke to me yesterday, is my inheritance in Christ. My inheritance in Christ. What is my inheritance in Christ? It's very important understanding the Christly inheritance first. If we don't know the Christly inheritance, we can come to church every day and go out of the church, and we can go and attend so many seminars, but we do not know the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, then we have already missed the boat, and we are still looking for the boat, and we are looking high and low for the boat. So we have to look at how God is going to place in our inheritance in our life. The inheritance is important. Jesus came here to replace the inheritance. We will work on only one word and build on that basis from that word. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. I'm sure some of you are familiar with this word, and I know some of you are well versed with this word. We will not look at the first part of it, and it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Okay? As God has said, what did He say? I will dwell in them and walk with them, walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In Ezekiel, if you look at Ezekiel chapter, the Old Testament Ezekiel, you'll find in Ezekiel, he said that, that is chapter 37, verse 26, 27. He says the same word, but he says it differently a little bit. But Paul records that word and says something in the New Testament. It's important when he writes to Corinthians, he's saying something that the Corinthians are doing is not right. And he's saying that the faith of the Corinthians and the direction of the Corinthians were diverted away from the focus of Jesus Christ. So he writes and reminds them now. Now I'm telling you this today, that that Jesus Christ, when God promised something in the time of Ezekiel, and the time of Ezekiel, when he said, he did not say in the present tense, he says, I will, I shall. That means it's a future present. Amen. Did you catch the word? It's not a present term. At that time or point of time, God has chosen these people. He has chosen the Israelites. But you see, you must understand, God has allowed them to go away, abandoned them for a while to the Babylonians. I'm building up this so that you will understand the whole case. So God allowed the Babylonians to take over. God allowed it. It's not that God, they came and took it, but the Babylonians were allowed. In the Old Testament, you'll find, I will allow the Holocaust to come. I will allow even the locusts to come and take control of everything so that they will take away what you have. And God allowed those things happen. Because why? Why? There's only one purpose why God allowed that. Because people were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. People were thinking in their direction. They were so stiff-necked, they would talk to themselves and said, look, my idol is important. My way is important. What are idols? There are many idols. I've spoken about that in idols, about idols. Idols is not only a god, but idol can be a man, a person. It can be also the things that you have in your life can be idol. I know people that who accumulate things in their life. They like newspaper cuttings. They keep the newspaper cutting. That's an idol. They like to keep certain magazines. I like to keep this magazine. I like to collect this magazine. That's an idol. Because that is what you habit you have. And you see, if you take it away, oh, where did you lose that thing? I spoke about it sometimes back, about idols. So recapping it back again, God spoke at a time. He says, you are a people I've saved from slavery, from the Egyptians, from Egypt means from the world of the darkness. I brought you into light. I brought you out into the promised land. Now, when you are coming here and you are still in the same thoughts, same ways. So now he says, now, I don't want to be that. I'm going to allow this to happen. He allowed it to happen. I prophesy in this year, the Lord spoke to us, and he says, he's going to shake many churches. Right? God spoke that, is right? Did God say that he's going to shake churches? Yes. He will shake churches, he will shake people, so that people will know that now God is almighty and he's in control. God is a God who is in control of everything, and God wants you all to know that in whatever situation we are in, He is still in control. How do we know that? Because I just want to take two words from this scripture just now we read. The key word that I like to take is, this morning and dwell upon it is, they will be my people. My people. The second word is, I shall be their God. Who's God? Their God. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So my people and their God. Let's focus. Number one, when we see the word, the first point that we like to see, I think we can finish the message very fast today. Amen? How many of you are hungry now? Okay. My people, he says my people, it's, you know, you will find that it's a claim of possession. When you say it's my people, it's claim of possession. You are owning something and you claim something. Is that right? My people means it's mine. If a father and a mother can say, now and say, that's my children. What do you say? You cannot deny the fact that they are the children. Because they carry the name. Because that's the mother who gave birth. That's the father of the child. The seed of the child is from the father. So you cannot deny the fact. He's taking possession. Sometimes we have a lot of children who are orphanage. In the orphanages we go and see them. They are away. But if the parents, true parents come back, they can still take possession in the authority of their children. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? So in the Old Testament, God allowed the things to happen. So many of us in our life today, we were also in the old Egypt. Every one of us were in Egypt. I don't know any one of you were not in Egypt. I was in Egypt. I was in the place where I was not right. So God has somehow or other said that He's called me out. Now, my people means in the basic word, in the worldly ways, if you look like taking proprietorship of a person. What is proprietorship? How many of you know business here? I'm sorry, I'm a little bit of businessman. I want to talk about a little bit of business. Can I? You see, proprietor is one ownership. Another ownership is limited company. And there's another ownership is called public limited company. Alright? Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you play stocks and shares in a market. So proprietorship has got one ownership, only one owner. But a limited company can have a number of 50, according to the law in the government in Malaysia. I think it's 50. Correct me if I'm wrong, if it is updated somewhere. Is it 50 or 10? 50. So 50 people can own this property, the company. And the other one is public. They say, anybody can own lah, as long as you buy the share in the market. Alright? Do you follow what I'm saying? So when you say it's a limited company, means say the shares, the liability is limited. In other words, whatever losses the company has got is limited to only amount of capital they have invested. Do you follow me? Those of you who are not businessmen, can you just bear with me for a while? Right. The losses, if there is a loss, they cannot go more than the limited capital they have already pumped into the company. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? The share capital which is pumped or which is the authorized capital. That's the amount you can actually give. If it's a public listed company, the share also has been divided and the loss has been divided. When you talk about profits, it's also the same. It's also divided among themselves equally, according to the share. But God did not say He is taking a joint ownership of ourselves. He said it's my people. That means He's taking sole proprietorship of us. Point number one is sole proprietorship. What does it mean by sole proprietorship to understand us? A sole proprietor means a person who owns something and then he owns it totally. If the profit is total, he's his. If the loss is total, he is the one who is going to lose everything. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm going to go somewhere to bring you back to where the kingdom of God is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you, do you understand? So those of you who don't understand, can you just put up a hand? I will just repeat again. It's okay, but I want you to understand this very important. Then you'll know where we stand in our life, in Christ Jesus. Alright? Those of you who don't understand, can you put up? I repeat again. A proprietor means, it means there's only one person who owns something. Let us say I buy a microphone. This microphone I buy. Okay? I only own. So I'm the one who paid for it. I'm the one who paid the capital for it. I'm the one who invested in it. I own it now. Right? I can go to Brother Chia. Brother Chia, I want to buy this thing. Can I be both of a share? So I become co-owner. So limited companies are co-ownership. There are more than one owners. But in the proprietorship, it's only one person who owns. So I own this. So if this breaks, I'm responsible for it. If it makes good noise, it is able to serve the purpose, I'm also in good habit. I'm also happy about what's happening to me. Do you follow what I'm saying? So God did not say, I'm a co-owner of every one of us. God didn't say that it's ownership. He takes my people, the word my people brings a lot of sweet, sweet, sweet words for us and sweet memories for us. Can you just imagine when you're outside, outside of the house, you're staying outside of Kuala Lumpur and you're staying away from your home, and now when you come back, you say, my father, my mother cooked the best food for me, and the food I ate outside is so-so lah. Do you understand? So when you come back, you take the ownership, you know that's your mother, that's your father. The same way, God doesn't want to share His ownership of every one of us. God is the sovereign God, must understand. He reigns over everything in the world that He has created. He reigns over sons of man. Every man and woman that has been created in this world, or sons of man, He reigns over them. But He only calls the people that He has purchased, my people. Hello? Do you follow what I mean? He doesn't call everybody else. Everybody is under His reign. But those who are purchased. Now, Old Testament, He chose them. Old Testament, He called the Jews. He said, they are my people. Now, He is talking about, I will call them, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So now, God has brought us out of that and says, now, I purchased them now. I am the owner of this person. Every one of us who are purchased by Jesus Christ is the claim ownership. The claim of the ownership is God Himself, no one else. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you get me? So the word of God is very clear in our life that He says, it is their God and we will be His God. He shall be our God and we shall be His people. Now, the first thing you must understand, the titleship, the ownership that God has now reigned from us. So He actually owns every one of us, but somehow or other, because our ways that we've gone away, because God allowed the devil to take over control of our lives. He allowed Babylonians to take control of our lives. He allowed Egypt to take control of our lives. So now He's buying back the people now. Anyone who is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, anyone who calls in the name of Jesus Christ, who accept Jesus Christ and accept Him, he is now bought, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. There was an exchange of price for you and I. There was a commodity exchange. There was an exchange God gave that is the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave it to him, to you, all of us. And then He brought it from devil and says, now, by this blood, I'm purchased. I've purchased James. I've purchased Joseph. I've purchased Lawrence. I've purchased Joyce. I've purchased every one of you here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there was a consideration in any contract. There is a consideration. The consideration price was the blood of Jesus Christ. The holy blood of Jesus Christ. So now when you say, it's my people, when God says my people, so when as a proprietor, if I look at a proprietorship, I had a company, for the first time I had my first thing was a proprietorship. If I were to be sued for losses, they can sue me until whatever I own. Hello, do you follow what I'm saying? If I have a loss, if I have got indemnity, let's say I'm a proprietor, I own the car and I go in, if I don't have any insurance, nothing. So what happens is that anybody can claim on me as much as what I have got and leave me as a pauper outside. Do you follow? But if there is a gain, the gain is totally mine. I'm driving a point here today. God has called us to be His people. God will not allow us to be a loss. God will not allow us to be a loss unless you allow yourself to be a loss. The point is, God says, you are my people. If you don't recognize who you are in God, the purchase price, and you who's the owner, then we will allow yourself to be lost in the world. If you know who you are, then you will not allow yourself to be lost. But if it loses, you must understand as a proprietor, if he gains, he gains you. If in loss, also he goes down. But he will make every way to come after you to take back that loss. Then there will be knocking in our lives. Painful times in our lives. There are many painful times in our life. I've gone through that painful times. And I know some of you have gone through, or most of you have gone through painful times before when you went away from God. God will not let you go. You are the possession of God Himself. Through Christ Jesus purchase. Amen? Say amen to that. So nobody, God himself, Yahweh himself, will not allow a loss. He will not defeat towards Satan's powers, but he will allow certain things to happen to correct you back and come back again. So the pain is what we see in our life, that we see so much of pain in us. So why is it that is happening? Why am I going this way? Correct and ask yourself, is my ways right? Am I still stiff-necked? Am I still thinking the same way? Not knowing God has purchased me already, and I call Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus, 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 and nothing is happening to me. Why? Because you don't understand the purchase price. And you do not know the purchase price, how costly it was. And how powerful it is. Amen? Amen? So God is now, will never want to lose you and I. God's intention is not to lose something he has purchased. It's a total lie. If you're a businessman, you will hold on and see how you can make profit out of that person. Is that right? You will never let go. See, I went into this business. I know there is somewhere I can make a profit. There might be pain, cost cutting and everything else, loss cutting, and there will be a lot of things lost, but still he will gain it back again. Example, you've got a building you like very much, a house you like very much. You would own the bank some money. You'll go all out, even though you don't have anything, to hold on to that house because you like that house. It's your possession. Your children live in it. Your family live in it. You'll go all out to save that house. At any cost, so that you love that family, the atmosphere, the environment, that you all have happiness, the joy that you all share. You will go all out to do it. Same way, the God that we believe, Yahweh, he's got the same attitude, same heart, same mind, that he is going all out to take us back to his possession. When he takes into possession, he wants to keep you and I into that possession. He will never let you go again. Amen. Amen. Say amen to that. He will never let you go. I want to say that when you, there is a word of blessings, say amen. And I tell you, it will come to pass. Because why? Saying amen to a blessing is saying yes to the blessing. Amen? Say amen. Loudly, doesn't matter. Okay, I went to the place, Longhouse, very deep in the jungle, after 3 hours of walking to a place. And after that, you'll find those people can say amen. 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 So simple. They're sitting on the floor. Amen. Amen. I spoke in English. Somebody interpreted. I don't know whether he interpreted correctly. Amen. Can you just imagine the faith of simple people, simple-hearted people? And I pray we have to have that simple heart first to receive the blessings. Before God, whoever we can be the king, we the prime minister, we can be the minister. When you come before God, he is almighty in charge of your life and my life. He has no levels of seeing who you are, whether you're up or low. He looks at us all as children. Amen. As we said, ambassadors. Just now. So God now says to us that when he purchases us, he will not let us go. I want you to affirm that today, that God is in control of my life because he's purchased me by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I honor Jesus Christ because that purchase price nobody can ever pay. Amen? Amen? Nobody can ever pay. I am a child of God today, and so are you a child of God. Amen? The second thing I want to talk about is, he says, they shall be my people and I shall be their God. Did we say, no, they have to claim me as my God? Is the word says, they have to claim me as my God? No, I have to go, I have to find my God. What is his name? Where is my claim? I must claim my God. I must claim my God. No. I shall be their God. It's by default, he shall be the God of ours. Because by purchase, he has already got a default of owning it. So you shall be, you and I shall be, he shall be our God. Amen. By default. In other words, by creation, by purchase price itself, not only are we owned by him now, by default, by ownership, he is also our God. He is also our proprietor. Our God means our proprietor. Solely he is in charge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every part of our life, whether we know, we do it without people knowing, but he knows everything. Even if I go to toilet in a, with no toilet in the jungle that day, we have to go and do toilet, see still, God knows where I'm doing the toilet work. Whether under a tree, under the bushes, doesn't matter. God is still watching. There is nothing to hold me at. Alright? I must tell you, no? The 3 hour journey early in the morning, we got up and I see all of them staying. The women sleep that side. It's one big hall. And the men sleep that side, the family members. And we all are sleeping. I took one corner because I sure know I'm the best radio you can ever find at night. You cannot find one like mine. It's so loud. Very clear. So that you will not be able to snore. Alright? So I took one corner place. And I didn't know, sound engineering, I'm sometimes stupid. So I did not know when you go to the corner and sleep, it becomes louder because of the walls and it gets amplified. Not only amplified inside the room, but the next door, all the rows, the longhouses, the 32 longhouses, all of them heard that somebody was making some noise. So 32 houses did not sleep that night. And I found out when I got up, I see everybody is ready. I was the earliest to get up, but I see the women's side, all of them are already cleared already. All of them put their bed ready, all went off ready. I said, wonderful. They've already made the breakfast also. I went and do whatever, you just come out and see. You see, God is so great. You know? And they took, after a small little breakfast, he took us for a long ride, you know. It's on the mountains and coming down mountains and walking through waters to get to the place we have to go to. And as we go through his long 3 hours journey, on the way we will see farms, small farms. And I saw the ladies I saw in the longhouse already there, farming now in the morning at 8 o'clock. And we are still walking all the way out together. Can you just imagine, God's creation is so powerful. They're simple hearted. They don't see anything. The ladies go first and do their business so that the man don't go and disturb them. Right? So they do whatever they have to do, clean up themselves and all the things. They're already done. Then the man go out. So how orderly they create, you know. So, you know, if people are in ulu places, we think that they're ulu people, they've got no brains. They've got better brains than us sometimes. I looked at them, my, this is really marvelous, man. The way they arrange themselves is so arranged nicely, you know. So as I said just now, when God by default, he is taking our consciousness, we are his God. Whether you are staying in a jungle, whether you are staying in a secluded place, whether you are staying in a city, he still owns us and he is our God. He has claimed and he said he is our God. Amen. Amen. Say amen to that. He has claimed that he is our God. So if our God, if our proprietor has already claimed that he owns you and he owns you totally, so now we have to know that he is the one in charge. Our meals is in charge. Our walk is in charge. Whether we want to take time off from him and go to the toilet for a while, he's in charge. Right? He wants to go out and marry also, he's in charge because he must take time off to go and get married to somebody. Right? Now he's in charge. Even you want to die also, he must ask him first. He must allow you to go and die first. Right or not? So he's totally in charge. As a proprietor, as a ownership, a title owner means an owner who owns by title. A title owner will not just let it go down. The possession of his will be his possession. Amen. Unless and until you make yourself arid in your sense, in that your land is so arid, you can't even do anything. You're so hardened. The heart is so hardened. The mind is so hardened. The mind is so wicked. The things inside us are so wicked that it doesn't grow anything, doesn't fruit outside anything. Do you follow what I'm saying? So God is in charge. He has given everything now and he's given, say, you'll fruit your way. You'll fruit your way, right? So the point one, number one is to know that he is the one who called us as his people. They shall be my people. I shall be your God. He says, unless you come. But the word of God also says, unless the people repent, then the land will be healed. 2 Chronicles, you'll find that happening. So what God is saying to you now today, that understand who you are in Christ Jesus. In order to understand that, you must know who owns you first. In order to understand the inheritance, you must know who owns you first. Amen? Amen? So if we can go through the dark valleys, you know he owns you. And he's with you. Nothing in our life will happen unless and until God permits it. In the Old Testament, God allowed the Israelites, chosen people, to be taken away by the Babylonians. Right? Locusts came, they ate up everything, so that their stiff neck can be softened, they come back, turn it back to God. And now he says to Ezekiel, I will make them, they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. So the time has come, the purchase price is who? Who is the purchase price? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has brought us to the ownership, has brought us to that ownership title of God in our lives. So our lives, every one of us, inscribed in us is the name of Jesus Christ and he has taken title of our lives. Amen? The day we confess and say, Lord Jesus, you are my life and you are my God and I confess that you are my Lord, you died for my sins and the purchase price you paid, immediately you become the possession of God. Amen. Now, the third point is this. What is inheritance? What is that inheritance for us? Okay? There are so many verses I can tell you about inheritance today, but I will just go to one or two now. Okay? Inheritance. Inheritance means that you are able to be a benefactor. Inheritance means, ha, means you are a benefactor. Right? Her means your benefactor. Let's read one or two verses where we can see the verse, her benefactor. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. Can we turn to that? Romans chapter 8 verse 17. So by 12:30 you can have lunch. Before 12:30. Okay, how many of you are counting lunch? What's lunch today? Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 17. Is it up there, brother? Are you all with me so far? Are you all with me so far? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, has heirs of God and join heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified in. Let's look at the word heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, let's look at that word alone. What does it mean heir? Heir means you are the person who will inherit something from somebody. You right? Inheritance. So you will be the benefactor of an inheritance. So God, He says, God says in the Bible says, He created everything in the world. In the universe He created. He owns everything. Is that right? Right? But we cannot own it, any one of them, because you know why? We parted ourselves away from Him in Genesis. Is that right? Now, Jesus has brought us back again to inheritance. Now, He says we are co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Co-benefactor of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ do? What does Jesus Christ has got? We can be benefactor of it. Has He got wealth? He was only a carpenter, no? Right? Has He got anything else, the buildings here in this world? Has He got something that He has created? This belongs to Jesus Christ. And He says, now this one I will give you inheritance. Has He got bank accounts that He will say, there is account, my account, I want to give you all the children who come to know me? He knows everything. Number one, He has got His authority. Amen. He took authority when He died and He went onto the, to hell. He died and He went and He came up on the third day. He went down, you know, I told you the other day when we had Resurrection Sunday, He went down without a sin. He came out without a sin. Right? So He rose without a sin. So when He went down with our sin, because just now we read in 2 Corinthians, right? It says, it's no sin. He took our sins. He went onto the cross and He died on the cross and He died. When He died, He went to the pit again. He went in down to hell and He came up on the third day. He crushed the head of Satan. He came up. Okay? So when He went down with our sins, when He went down, so now He comes up again. So what did He do? He took authority of every powers of darkness, everything of death. Death is the one which has been holding us in our life. Death, Satan holds that. So when God, when Jesus Himself took control of that, He took authority. Now let's look at what authority He gives us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Can somebody read that? Matthew chapter 28. He's taken authority. This is a basic preaching. I don't think it's anything extra today. But we just want to reaffirm what we are, who we are, so that we know. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Can somebody turn read loud? We talk about great commissions and all those things, you know. What is the great commission starts from? It starts from Jesus Himself. He is the authority. He says all authority, all. He didn't say some authority, part of the authority, only casting out demons is mine, or this authority is mine, or this power is mine. All authority came under His feet. And He says, all authority has been given to me. When He says authority has been given to you, and He says go. When He says go, in His authority, then He says we become co-heirs with Him in the authority He has got. Amen? 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 Say amen to that. Because when you say amen to that, devil is now scared. Because He has got authority over devil. He has got authority over death. Every spirit of death assignment is sent to our lives. Every spirit of defeat sent to our life. Every spirit of any evil spirit that is sent into our lives. Any arrow sent to our life. It is defeated because the authority of God, Jesus Christ, which has been in with Him. We are co-heirs with Him. Amen. We are co-benefactor with Him. We have got the power that to say any devil will go away because we go. Because you know what? We go to outer world and we walk and the devil will go. Devil will go. Because why? The authority we are co-heirs in authority. Amen. We are. Say, we are co-heirs in the authority of Jesus Christ. because the authority belongs to God, because He is the Creator, a Father, so He gave it to the Son, and He says, all authority belongs to you, all judgment belongs to you, and you take control now, and He says, go. And Jesus didn't say, go and ask the Father whether He's going to send you like, send me or not. He says, I send you because He has got authority. Amen. So we have become co-heirs in our thing. Everything that comes against us in our life, we must understand who we are. The powers of darkness is coming into our life. Things are being shaken. Churches are being shaken. Houses, families are being shaken. Business are being shaken. Good people's lives being shaken. Why? We don't stand on the authority of Christ Jesus. Amen? We must now stand on the authority of Christ Jesus. Because we have the authority. But Jesus says, go, therefore. Go. Go, therefore. In whose name? In His name. In His authority. Because He says, we are co-heirs of the authority. Amen. Do you get me? Number two. He says, signs and wonders will follow you. Mark chapter 16. Verse 16, 17 and 18. You can read that. You all know that, isn't it? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been... Sorry. I'm going to... Let's go to Mark. He who believes and he's baptized with will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take... up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. So God is now promising, Jesus is promising, the inheritance of what Jesus did. What He did? He cast out demons. Is that right? In the four Gospels, you see, the Gospel says that Jesus cast out demons. Every authority came under Him. Everything was under Him. So even if a snake bites Him, Paul's one snake bit Him in Malta. What happened? He didn't die. He didn't die. Why? Because he believed in the word. Because he knows the authority. He knows who is he. Co-heirs. That is why Paul is able to write all this in the Corinthians, even in all the others, the Romans and the Hebrews, because he knows the authority. He knows who is he. A lot of epistles are written by him. Even a book of Acts, some of it, most of it are about him. Why? Because he is the only one who took authority and spoke out very loudly. Amen. He was able to exercise the authority that he has got. And the book of Acts is still continuing. You and I are the ambassadors. This morning he spoke. If we are, and you and I are ambassadors, are we living in that life of ambassador? Are we living in the life of ambassador? An ambassador come here, they give you a red carpet. They give you a siren. Oh, they can go alone also anywhere. They can even break laws, man-made laws. But these ambassadors abide in the laws of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Say amen to that. These ambassadors we are abide in the kingdom of God's law. We abide in the love of Christ. We abide in the Father that He has given to us. We abide that the love that He has got to give to our brothers and sisters. Amen. So we have to understand that the signs and wonders will follow us because, you know why? Because Jesus did that also. Amen? Amen? Now, the next one we'll see, the forgiving. He also gave us to forgive, the authority to forgive the sinners who have sinned against us. Hello? Has He given you authority to forgive the sinners that have sinned against you? Who says no? Then the Our Father you're reading is wrong. Right? He has given us authority in Matthew chapter 6 verse 12. It says, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So He has given us authority to forgive other sins. Many of us are holding on to that authority and say, no, I don't want to forgive this person. I see the I feel like taking a dagger. If the housewife, now I'll be like taking a chopping knife. James, I see him. I want to chop him. Alright? Where is that forgiveness? Where is that forgiveness? The authority to forgive has been given to us. Amen. Jesus, when He went around, your sins are forgiven. Because He sinned against God. He sinned against man. So He says, I forgive you. And the man was cleansed. And he says, no, even people who debate, the people of the Sanhedrin came around and asked him, oh, how can he forgive the sins? Which is easier, to tell him to be healed or to be sins forgiven? Which is greater, your sickness or the sins to be forgiven? Sins to be forgiven is greater than sickness. Hello? So today, our understanding is that Jesus has given the authority to forgive the sins of those who have offended us. It's in our hands. It's not in God's hands. Forgiving the sins of another person is not in the hands of God, but it's in the hands of us. That is why sickness come and fall into our lives. Why? Because the sins are still inside here. Unforgiveness. So the authority to give for us to do now, he has shared, we are co-heirs to forgive sins. Last time we cannot forgive sins, right? In the Old Testament it says, you forgive the sin. On the 50th year of Jubilee year, there shall be a lot of things returned back to you. Those servants who have been serving you, there will be slaves, will be returned back free. That was by law. But by grace today, he says, the sins can be forgiven by you. You hold the key. He says, when you offend one person, not only you offend God, but you also offend the creation of God. Amen? So you must go out and forgive the sins. The authority has been given to us to have forgive the sins. Amen. So inheritance means, what is the inheritance? Inheritance, ayo, Lord, Isaiah 45 says, Lord, the wealth of Egypt, those are hidden inside, Lord, the treasures, Lord, give it to me, Lord. What treasures are you talking about when you still hold on to all these things? What treasures are we holding on? Why is the treasures not being released? Lord, oh, you promised, Lord, in Isaiah, I am holding on to the word, Lord. I sit on the word, I eat the word, I'll claim it, Lord. Even as I sit and I see, wherever I go, I'll take it, Lord. That you, Lord, will release the treasures that is hidden. And those with the Egypt hold will be released to me. Oh, Lord, the first thing is to knowing your inheritance first. If the inheritance you know, then you know what God will do for you. Till today, a prophecy was given to Philippines. And I was there in the time, I was not a prophet. I was supposed to be a group of people today be here. They are the kings of the Italians, that are the plastic kings. They are friends of mine. They could not come yesterday. They were supposed to attend the church today, but they could not come because of the death of somebody. A prophecy was given at the time. I remember this prophecy very well. He says, the treasures in Philippines are still lying down, minerals and things. Until the day you find the people who are righteous in the government, then the treasures will rise up and God will give the treasures to the people. And the wealth of the nation shall increase. They shall not be any longer a borrower. They shall be lenders thereafter. Right? Then he gave another prophecy. If the men in Philippines are not right, the greed of Malaysians, who are Malaysians, will go there and take away the mineral that is in the land. So today, few weeks ago, as I went out to, I was sitting in the plane, I took a paper and went inside, and I read, there is this San Miguel signing an agreement with Malaysian Petronas, you know, it's actually one of the subsidiaries of Petronas, which son of Mahathir has got a share in it. And that company is now taking control of the Palawan belt of petroleum. Filipinos who are here, go back and check. This was released in the year, I remember, this was the year 2003 or 2004 was released in Philippines. And I pray God is doing something. And I know one thing is going to come next. It's not another country, but in our neighbor country, which is going to be Indonesia, Aceh will be another one. Watch Aceh, the petroleum-rich state, will be robbed of their petroleum. The rights of the people will not get, but somebody will come and siphon out the petroleum from there. It's going to happen. Because why? People are not righteous. Aceh was a place where there was a gospel city. Aceh was a center of gospel before for this part of the world. Now, Islam has become a center in Aceh. So I pray you'll pray together with me. So when we say we are inheritance, what inheritance were we talking about? We can pray and pray and pray. And you say, God, Pastor, no, I've been praying. My wealth is not coming. I'm not interested in wealth now. So I'm looking at the wealth of God. The wealth of God is love. So that is what we're looking for. When he is looking for something in the wealth of the nations, and looking for something that physical to have happen to your life, you are claiming the treasures of Isaiah 45. Make sure you claim it right. God will give you the treasures, hidden treasures, which is hidden for what? For the purpose of his children. Has the benefactor. It's hidden because it's so that others will not claim it. It's hidden because other people will not come and take it. It's hidden because so that has actual benefactor will take control of it. Hello? Amen? Amen? You must wait for that. That's breakthroughs coming means what's breakthrough? What breakthrough? What breakthrough? Breakthrough, Father. Father, I want breakthrough. What breakthrough are we talking about? We are talking about a breakthrough in the spiritual realm in ourselves first. Then the Egypt wealth will come out. And God will give to the righteous people. The word of God is not wrong. He's right all the time. Amen? When he says that, no, the co-inheritance. And you go back to co-inheritance, you'll see Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. It says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and has accordingly. What do you mean by Abraham's seed? Why did Paul talk about Abraham's seed? Why did he say it? Because the promise that was given in Genesis, the Abraham's seed will carry it forward to in our lives. What was given in the Abraham's seed? Anyone of you know? What is the wealth? The wealth of multiplication. There shall be inheritance in your family. I will give you children like the stars in the sky. And the wealth will follow you. I will not make you to be a... Can you go back to see what is that inheritance we talk about? Let's turn to Genesis 12. You know that very well. Genesis 12. When Paul says that we are co-heirs of what? Of the seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham says what? I will make you, verse 2, 12 verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, multiplication in a family. Health in a family. And people who will bless you all the time bless you. There is one who curse you, who comes against you. Don't worry. God is control. Because he's in possession now. He's total proprietor. He will see all his commodities, all the people that he owns, all the people he knows, all the commodities he's got. If you've got something in a building, the ownership is taken control. You'll watch over it, isn't it? Alright? Some of you sit in the stock market from morning to evening until the bill closed down. And after that, you come out with tired eyes and still cannot finish. And then go back at night and see the watch. What? I don't know what stocks they watch in America. The gold market, bullion market, and everything else. And then they have no sleep at all. They lose their health wealth. And they can't make good decisions because their sleep is not right. They make all wrong decisions. And all the money they have is gone. And they will curse God and say, God, you said you'll promise me. How come you're not promising me? God says when you go and sit down there, he'll give you the word and you get the money and go out and sit down and sleep. Then you go back again, God will tell you, okay, invest in this one, I'll invest and then go out and sleep. You're not supposed to sit down the whole day. That means that you're using your own strength, not God's strength. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? If the wisdom is given to you, right, the God will give it to you. I remember, I don't play with that stocks, but I know the stocks last time used to move and which way used to move. Some people made money off it. Right? And I know somebody who seated here also wanted to make some money, but God said that stock is no good. The next day she didn't buy the stock. Alright? Although the stock moves, but you see, the principle behind the stock market is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You don't go buy a brothel, a company which owns a brothel, and have a shareholding with them. As a Christian, you're not supposed to do that. Right? Because that is selling flesh. Right? And I think somebody was here, they were all whistling me, Pastor, somebody's here, somebody said, I don't care. Because gambling is not right. Because what you earn, God gave you, you're just wasting it away. Right? So that is why I'm saying, so you must understand, you understand the wealth. Wealth of God, yes. And he says, seed of Abraham. I mean, say, everything that has been promised in Abraham shall be upon us. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen, amen to that. Because he'll increase us to nations. He'll increase us to everything. Our children will go to nations. Our inheritance will go to nations. Might not be today, but I surely I tell you, someday. Amen. Amen. Our inheritance will increase. So it says God has given you that ministry. Another thing, he's given you a hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become his. Can you read that one, please? My own handwriting, I can't read. I'm sorry about that. Has according to the hope of eternal life. What is eternal life? Amen. Eternal life. He is given as a life that is not dead any longer. You know, there's no, when we die, there's no problem. It's okay, I'm joining with my father. I'm joining with my owner. And I'm going to be there together with him. Amen. Amen. So you know where you're going. You know, you don't want to say, I don't know what happens to me when I die, you know. 2 days I've been having a dream. I don't know. I don't normally have dreams like this. The first day dream was that I lost my pants. Seriously. I had blessings in my hand, all my wallet, all missing. And it happens to be a public place. No, 2 nights ago, no? So I was a bit worried. What, Lord, are you speaking to me? I'm asking the Lord, tell me what is that? How can I lose my pants? And I was walking around with a towel like a madman. So it came to a time when it says, Lord says, and I come back, Lord, in the Old Testament you said, Lord, this king will have walk around like madman. Would it be like that me? But is it to glorify you? Hello? Even in the times of that, is it to glorify you, Lord? If it is so, let it be so. Right? The second vision I had, I was sleeping last night. And suddenly my son, he borrowed some money from me, the eldest boy. He came back and he touched me and he gave me back the money. Then I was deep sleep. And he came and touched me and he said, Papa, it's money. Said, hey, I went out, he was outside there sleeping. I think he was watching TV or something like that. So I was inside sleeping nicely. Suddenly I had a dream. Everything I had in my wallet and everything else was missing. I said, Lord, what is this? And I called out, Peter. And I thought I was just calling him in the dream. But he came and said, why, Papa, you called me? So God has his own way in his dreams. I don't understand the dream. But God, I know he's in control. I know and I believe that he's in control. Even there is an attack to the wealth, even there is an attack to anything else, he is still in control. I believe in him, I trust in him. And we shall trust in him. Amen? You and I will trust in him because we know our owner. We know where we are going. It's not the world, but the things of the heaven. Amen? So we know our inheritance. Our inheritance is important. Unless you know the inheritance, we cannot be co-joint heirs with him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Then he talks about also the ability of counsel. Hebrews chapter 6, 17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the promise of the immutability of his counsel. His counsel is important. He promised that his counsel is with us. Who is the counsel? Hello? Holy Spirit. So his promise of counsel is with us. So in our life, he didn't say that you'll go like a ship in the center of the of a sea, don't know what directions. The counselor is with us. Amen? The counselor with us. So the counsel is very important. I'm taking some words and using that. The whole context, but now look at the word and say, he's a counselor. He's a counsel. His counsel is very important in our life. Without his counsel, you cannot make wise decisions. And I remember in Solomon, you go back and see 1 Kings, you'll find that Solomon, I think chapter 3, when he came to 2 widows, right? 2 women, 2 mothers. He had to make a decision that day. And he said, let's bring a knife and he will chop off this child and give each one half. The true mother came out of love. She knows the authority of her child. She knows she owns the child. She wouldn't want to lose the child. What more God? He's only a human being. What more, God purchased us with his own son's blood. Holy blood. There was no sin. And yet, he's taken control of our lives. Amen. 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 So, if you look at the wisdom, the counsel came from him. Where did the counsel come for Solomon? From God. Wisdom of God. Because God visited him. In the Old Testament, say God visited him twice. What is the time? And the time, the first time he became a king. Second time when he already prayed and dedicated the temple. After he built the temple, he dedicated the temple. And he prayed the temple. And in Chronicles, you'll find that he came. God appeared to him again. And I surely will take control. I will surely live in this temple. I will surely do whatever your prayers are. So there was a covenant within God and man. But today, Jesus Christ has made a covenant in chapter 17 of John. You understand that. I've already spoken about it. John, you'll find that there's a covenant he made with us. and with God for us. He's the firstborn. He made the covenant with God as the firstborn for us. Amen. Amen. So that covenant is important. So we are we have the counsel of his. Lastly, we are also in the ministry. We will see that ministry also in the church or even in the house. You must understand that God is the chief of the church. Jesus is in control of the church. So if any ministry, it will come accordingly. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his. Can somebody read that? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6. Read it loud now. If you've got no voice, stand up and read. Of which I am a minister according to the gift of the grace which God given to me by the effective working of his power. In other words, what he says, he's a minister of God because by his grace and because his appointment, not by appointment of man. Hello? He was gone. So there are many things in even our ministry we must understand. God will lead us into our ministry, our own ministry. I didn't have a ministry of my own, but God led me into the ministry. I was not called a prophet, but I don't know, because that was what led to me. Nothing. I came here as an ordinary man, broken man. So every one of us are broken vessels. And thus we know that a vessel has got to be clean. So the inwardly cleaning was done first. And when it was done, immediately after that, God knew how to take me to the places where it has got to go. He takes me slowly, bit by bit, not overnight. A ministry is so led by God, not by man. Not by your will, but by the will of God. By the will of God. By the purpose of God. Amen? Amen? We have to understand that. In our lives, even our families, our churches, or even our business, or whatever it is, sometimes we make things which are major, minor, and minor things, we make it major. Right? We make things, it's not God who makes it. It's we. We are the people who make the minor major and the major minor. Do you understand what I'm saying? The little things you make it big. The big things you can make it so small. Why? It's because we do not know where you're going. But our heart wants certain things. We get disappointed. We make the things so big. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So why God has got to give in our life? In our children, our family, it's all the same. We make things so big, the minor things, that there will be so much of squabble in the family. And then you see the children going this way, the wife going this way, husband going this way, don't talk to each other. Because it's a minor thing. You made it so big. When there's a major issue, you make it so minor. And the other person gets irritated. Is that right? The person who's really is a major problem. Right, my son comes in, Papa, I'm having a stomach pain. I cannot eat. I cannot bend down. It's okay, lah. It's not okay. But the fellow is now crying again, all night didn't sleep, two nights didn't sleep, and I'm making it minor. I understand it's a major problem. Let me take it to the hospital, find out what's the problem. If he can't heal, God pray. I pray God heal. No, didn't happen. I'll take him to the hospital, find out what's happening. It could be an appendicitis. It could burst. It becomes major. What thing I made minor? It's a major thing. Sometimes. We need wisdom. All the time we need wisdom, not sometimes. Let me correct this. Correct my statement. All the time we need wisdom of God. Even at our sleeping time, we need the wisdom of God. Because at the sleeping time, you receive something, and I don't know, I'm blank. I have to ask the wisdom of God. God knock into me some wisdom. Unless you knock into my wisdom, this vessel cannot work. Right? So unless we know who we are, that's important. Brothers and sisters, in our life, there are so many things that I can go on and go on. The kingdom that God is speaking, Jesus speaking, he says very clearly, my kingdom, we are co-heirs in the kingdom. We will manage together with him in the kingdom of God when the new Jerusalem comes, when the new Israel comes down. When he comes down, we are going to be heirs. We are going to be together with him. The word of God says it very clearly. We will be heirs together, reigning together with him. Reigning means in the time of this time when we are walking in this land. Oh, heaven has not come down into this land. Heaven has come down into our heart. If the heart is right, and we walk right now, the time will come when his physical appearance come again, then we will be co-joined heirs in the management of the kingdom of God. The management of kingdom of God, Just like in the Old Testament, you'll find you've got generals and all those people. You'll find Daniel was in charge of something. He was a governor. But he had in charge of so many other governors. He was in charge of the whole land. But there's another of his friend, the three friends of his, they also were in charge of different places. That's the same picture I wanted to picture in the time of Jesus coming again. The physical appearance of Jesus Christ does not erase the promises that he has given. It affirms the promises he's given. It actually fortifies and make reality the promises God has given to us. So God is coming. Jesus is going to come. I do not know when. Doesn't matter if it's my great-grandchildren's time or even 20 years' time. It doesn't matter. Or 2,000 years' time. Doesn't matter. But I know. And you know. He's going to come. And he said, I'll come like a thief. Even my father, only my father knows. Angels do not know. The seraphim does not know. Even the son does not know. Only the father knows. When Jesus is going to come. When he comes, are we able to face him? Are we able to see the inheritance that he has given to us? He will ask us now, like the parable he says, no, I have given this person this much. What did you do with that? I kept it, under the bed, I kept it with a handkerchief to night down nicely, and with all the saving things I have, I put it inside and I kept to treasure it. Because you are a master, when you come back, you are a very, very, you are a greedy master, You are a very greedy master, You want to see things, don't want to lose. That's why I kept it all the time. A proprietor, a sole proprietor, want to see everything in his life, everything that he wants to be productive. Hello? If you are a businessman, you'll understand. Right? If it is not productive, he'll make you productive. Make you hard ways so that it'll be productive. And you say, God hates me. God doesn't hate you. He loves you. And I. That is why he allows these things to happen. Because God loves the chosen people, the old time people in Israel, he chose them. The Hebrews, he chose them. Because he loves them, he allowed the Babylonian to go, take control. He asked the locusts to come. The kingdom of the north and the south, they came. They took control of Israel. Today, brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be the co-heirs. We understand who is what we have in our lives. What is that we are inheritant of? From today onwards, we must understand God has made it all possible for us. What we need is simple humility in our life to understand God's humility. God made something. A cross was a cross which is a condemnation cross. And because somebody who went up on the cross, and he went up not as God. Psalm 22. Can you look at Psalm 22? It was the psalmist did not talk about himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me helping me? He did not speak this for a man. He spoke not as a God, but he spoke as a man. God, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. At the time of the cross, he was 100% man. He behaved like a man. So that the sins of man can be taken away. He cannot behave like a God there. Hello? He cannot behave like a God. Every word that he says, if there's people says, people shake their head on him. People draw lots on their garments. Not only they made sore wounds on his feet and also in his hands. It's mentioned that, 22. They even said, if he can help himself come down, he can help himself to come down from the cross. All that mockery. But Jesus went there as man, not as God at the time. He was 100% man going through the things that we have gone through. That thing that he has made. He made things so simple. Little things. He magnified it so big nicely. So that it will be glory to God. Amen. 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 Sometimes we do things and we ask for so many recognition in our life. And I know in our church, many years, some of you do not know. There's one person who will go out early in the morning to go and buy cakes for those people who come here. Refreshment for the persons who come as a guest in this church. They go out to Bangsar to buy it and bring it out here in the morning and then after that make the cakes and available and you see a guest put up a table and put out a... Never ask for recognition. Did I ask them to do? No. I didn't ask this person to do anything. On their own accord, on the needs that is available, the person did. So where is the ministry? Where is your calling? In the little things that you do, You do it as if you've done it the best of yours. Amen? That it will give an impact. The little thing that Jesus did, the thing that he did as a man on the cross, today, all over the world, he has brought life, eternal life, and co-inheritance to all of us. For generations to come, he will be the same, bringing eternal life, resurrection life to all of us. Brothers and sisters, let's not look about the things. Let us not make things which is not right in our lives to become major. But let it be a current things. Minor things, let's not be major. Major things, let's not be minor. Do the things that we have to do, and God will change our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we are co-heirs with Christ. Know your inheritance. Know who is your owner, and you'll know who you are. Amen.